Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Derek Pearson, brought to you by Canopy Street Market.
Boom! Hour 2, 12 noon, Wednesday. It is going to be a smoke show. I'm excited. I'm thrilled to have this happen. You can text in, and you have been active in it, so thank you for doing that. Charter Hammond text line is 402-464-5685. If you want to be a part of what we're doing, and again, the live video streams, you can follow us on Allo, channel 961. You can follow us on Facebook, YouTube, X as well, and as well you should. Great mission was to have Husker athletes and coaches stop by the new location out of convenience to them, to the campus being closed, so it's not so intrusive to have them come do it. But we've been talking about this for a minute. Nebraska women's tennis playing in one of the finer facilities in the country at Dillon. And it was I was amazed at how many people had not been to Dillon. So we've got to correct that. We've got to fix that. But Herman Del Magro joins us. He's the head coach of Huskers women's tennis. Coach, thank you for doing this.
No, thank you for having me. I think this is a pleasure.
It's interesting to me that in a football-centric space, you have identified this thing and you have to kind of reimagine Nebraska women's tennis.
To a point, I think they have some success, about 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
They were really good. And I think it's trying to get back to that. You know, I think we can, the landscape has changed a little bit. Women's tennis, you know, is considered, in tennis in general, you know, outdoor sport, good weather, fair weather, location. And we're trying to change that, you know, make it where Nebraska can be that destination.
You have a great outdoor facility, great indoor facility.
Absolutely.
But as you said, climate certainly matters, especially for tennis, being able to work inside and out year round. How does that impact or affect your recruiting? Because maybe the type of player that maybe where they're from kind of plays into it. How does it impact recruiting for you?
It impacts big time. I think most players that where they think about going professional and they all think that they should be playing outside. But the reality is sometimes you have a lot of professional events, you know, indoors. But the majority are more geared towards outdoors and in good locations. So I think that the mindset of like you growing up playing tournaments or playing competitive, you always go to good locations, good weather to play those events. So you kind of associate the sport with being outdoors and sunny and good weather. So I think it matters because now we have to identify, you know, athletes that want to come compete here, but also that they can't play indoors and outdoors. We have before some players that cannot play indoors as much, but we play about half the season inside. So we'll have to make sure they can compete in both. Usually the best players can adjust.
What's the parameter for the country in the Big Ten in deciding indoor versus outdoor?
We have a rule, which is a weather rule. So we go, if it's 50 degrees and above, we have to play outside. 50 and below, we have to go indoors. And then the wind has to be 20 If he's above 20 miles per hour, you have to move indoors. And then if he's below 20, then you have to, you know, stay outside. So it can be tricky. It's a big difference when you're playing outdoors with wind and then you suddenly go indoors and no wind. It makes a big difference, but, you know, whatever happens, you have to make an adjustment. So
the Nebraska wind thing, I didn't quite understand until I moved here. This is a different wind than the rest of the Big Ten.
It is. It truly is, you know. The thing is sometimes is the rule is the wind has to be the gust. They don't count the gust to win. So sometimes you could be 15, but gust of 30, and then you're like feel like you're blowing over, you know. So it's a little windy and the gust makes a big difference, but the tennis balls are kind of light, so that's why they make that rule, because otherwise it just becomes unplayable.
It is fantastic to consider. We were talking about, before we went live, my sticking my head in, and there are perceptions for high-level women's tennis. And I was stunned by the power and explosiveness of your young ladies. Even relative to your opponents, it has to be purposeful, right? Is that conditioning? Is that cardio? Is that weight training? Is that nutrition? What's happening that allows these women? I said this. I'm not afraid of most people in any athletic endeavor. I would not find myself on a tennis court with your young ladies because they would embarrass me.
I think it's all of the above. You know, all the things you mentioned. I think it's a combination. We kind of work on being an explosive team, you know, try to hit through the core and try to be powerful. But you work on all those things. So trying to have a balance, you know, between being, I always say this as a coach, you know, I want to have one of the most fitter teams out there. So we can, if we need to play for 3 hours, 4 hours, we can be there. So we work on that. But also I think that, you know, they will try to take care of the weight room where they're stronger, but also they're quick and explosive. And, you know, we try to, man, you know, work on all of those, and the key is to kind of maximize all the resources we have and maximize their potential. Some are a little more powerful than others, but tennis is a powerful sport, but at the same time, it's also a sport that you can outlast your opponent. So the cardio, the stamina, just the willingness to stay out. There's no time in tennis, so it's not by time anything. So the willingness is a very mental sport. So the willingness to just stay there a little longer than your opponent, it can go a long way. So.
Well, to be able to isolate shot for shot, that quite frankly, it is just one shot at a time in this grand accumulation of things, and it doesn't care. Your next shot doesn't care how tired you are, doesn't care how tired they are. It's really not a thing. Coaches tend to recruit and coach and develop to their style of tennis play because it's what you know. For you, if I asked you to define a Husker women's tennis player, what are the characteristics and traits that jump out? You say, you know what? Here's what I have to have.
I think passion, you know, effort. I think that you have to love just the grind. I tell my team every single day is that, hey, our foundation is based on our consistency, but at our toughness. You know, it's like, don't look for the easy way out. Look for making things, you know, being disciplined, consistent, you know, playing with passion. I don't care sometimes, you know, like your best tennis won't be there every day, but your effort, your attitude, your mindset of like, just like, hey, I'm going to get down and work. I think it has to be there. So we'll try to find players that have that. And then you can always improve some skills, improve technique, improve patience or, you know, little things. But some of those things, the intangibles, they're hard to coach sometimes. You know, you have to, most athletes need to have them. You know, they need to come in with a kind of grit, you know, inside the blood, you know, so it's hard to coach that you can work on it, but, you know, it's hard. You know, it's not as easy as you have seen around all the sports too. So.
The fact that you use the word gritty for tennis, it's implied, but to watch your players get through difficult moments. And a lot of it's the conversation that they have with themselves and with you, whether it be from a distance or in a whisper, right? That if there's six matches going on, you kind of have to identify who needs me most in that moment. how do you make that decision, right? Six courts, that's a lot to cover and a lot of different egos and esteem issues at the same time.
I think we take it day by day. You know, some sometimes, you know, some players are more confident and day by day. Sometimes, you know, it's like you play different matches, how they feel that day. And sometimes some really want the attention. They really want the detail. They want a lot of information. We try not to overwhelm them with too much information because you can only take so much, you know. And if you give them too much, then they overthink, they overanalyze, you know, and then they start making too many mistakes. So we try to keep it simple, but at the same time, give them feedback. Some want more feedback than others. And I kind of learn through everyday practice and sometimes matches who wants more and who wants less. And we try to, I mean, I think my job as a coach is try to, they need to adapt to me, my philosophy, the program, but I need to adapt just as much to them because they're all individual. They all play differently. They all think differently. They're all, so I can't put everybody under one umbrella and tell them, hey, you had to play this way, but maybe their skill sets are slightly different. So I need to adapt to them just as much. So I'm pretty adaptable for the most part to some things where, you know, my job is to help them be the best they can be. So I can't just be all about just how we have some kind of like non-negotiables that we talk about, you know, some non-negotiables, which is the effort, the attitude, having a good mindset, you know, being competitive. You know, we compete, but that's non-negotiable. But the rest is like how I coach two different athletes. It should be different because they, you know, they like to be communicated differently. They have different skill sets, you know, so we'll try to communicate with them kind of based on what they need.
I'll ask you a question that does not have a right answer. So I'll preface it by saying it doesn't have a right answer. But being a male coach in a woman's sport at this level requires such finesse and such specific boundary, whether it be emotionally, whether it be academically, whether it be socially, how to handle social media now with that engagement and all the things, and now transfer portal, NIL, everybody's branding and trying to create those things. How do you handle that? How do you handle that? What's your mantra for dealing with your young lady?
It's a tough balance. You know, I think I have three kids. You know, I have a daughter, three kids, and I will try to make it a family environment as well, but making sure that, I'm not a coach that cusses too much. I'm not a coach that...
Bless your heart.
try not to, you know? They can be emotional. They can be very emotional, but I don't shy away from, hey, you can be emotional. The key is like, if you have a moment, it's like, okay, how can you come back and you know, and focus again and concentrate again on what you need to do so that moment doesn't last as long. You know, it's a thin balance, but we try to just be human, treat them with respect, treat them well, but we expect them, you know, to work hard. We expect them to, you know, to hustle. We expect them to do, you know, kind of. So I don't think it matters as much, but we're always, you know, respectful of the time, respectful of.
It's Labor Day weekend and you deserve a treat, like 25% off all your Liquid IV favorites and podcast exclusive gifts with purchase during Liquid IV's Labor Day sale happening now. Just go to liquidiv.com and use code LIVPODS at checkout. There's never been a better time to stock up on all your favorite hydration. From sugar-free flavors like raspberry lemonade to the fan favorite hydration multiplier, cotton candy, and more. This is a limited time offer, so stock up before it ends. Just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. So don't miss stocking up on all your favorites. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and use code LIVPODS at checkout to get 25% off site-wide plus exclusive gifts with purchase. That's code LIVPODS at liquidiv.com.
Kind of, we try to communicate well. We try to let them know that we're here for them and we care about them, but we can also push them and try to help them be better.
As I look at your roster, it is an international roster for sure. And you're certainly put in a position where awareness, women's tennis on a club level and on a national level brings you certain types of players and a certain level of player. But also you just recruited one of the best doubles players in the world, and to get them to come to Nebraska. What do you say to them about Lincoln, Nebraska, that would make them want to come here?
You know, I mean, I love Lincoln, so I will be happily sell Lincoln any day. I think it's not just that we offer all the resources that, you know, sometimes a lot of tennis players, but sometimes, you know, athletes in general, they choose a location or they choose a weather. And sometimes some of those schools, you know, they have a name, but they might not even have all the resources we have. But until they see him, sometimes they can't even, when they go somewhere else and they see the difference because you experience it day to day. I think it's just a matter of like, hey, we're a family environment. We try to sell them all the resources. They can win just as much here as they can at a UCLA or a USC, you know? And I think they just take the location or the weather or the name, and then maybe they don't even have the same resources. So I think we tell them that we have the experience as coaches, you know, that they can help them grow. We show some of the results, and we try to show the developmental part that, you know, I'm huge in developmental. We try to help them develop, you know, throughout the years. We try to, you know, put emphasis on that and try to make them feel like this is like a second home for them. So they can come here and they can develop and they can accomplish just as many goals or more than if they go somewhere else. So, the girl that we just committed, it is an international sport. Tennis is probably one of the most global sports, you know, and the talent in the Midwest is not that great. You know, we don't have, you know, right now, no one player in Nebraska, you know, is ranked even in the top 300 in the country. Mm-hmm. So we have to spread out. We'll try to recruit American first, actually. And we go heavy there. And sometimes, you know, with some choices tell us no, and then you go next and next and next. And then sometimes you have to spread your wins, you know. So recruiting is challenging, but we'll try to, you know, we have gone, you know, to Asia, to Africa to recruit. You know, we go to every tournament we can in the country. We're everywhere. You know, the goal is like, I know we'll break through here soon. So we'll try to get the best players that will fit, you know, our philosophy, but also, you know, the level that we can compete for championships here. So
is there a way, as I mean, you're the official women's tennis North Star for the state of Nebraska. And is there a way to help develop or at least enable Nebraska high school women's tennis, girls tennis players to get better so that they, you know what, they could have eyes towards Lincoln. They could have eyes towards being a doubles player at Nebraska or to improve the whole culture here in Nebraska. So for these young ladies to have a way to stay home and play tennis.
Yeah, I mean, I think that some of the coaches in the academies or even high schools here in the clubs, they do a really good job. Sometimes just the maybe the amount of tennis players hitting, you know, or playing, maybe not, it's not as good as a Florida or a Texas or California, right?
Yeah.
Or some of the Northeast too. But I think some of them, maybe if they get really good younger, sometimes they move and they go to academies like an IMG or, you know, like in Texas or California. So
yeah.
I think that's part of the issue. And then maybe some of the best athletes around this area, maybe they need to choose tennis. You know, who knows? Maybe they don't. Maybe they choose volleyball. Well, you know, they choose something else, right?
So yeah, like, all the six-footers, we know.
You know, so we have some tall tennis players, and they're, you know, the best player in the world right now is 6 foot, you know, in women's tennis. So it's like, I don't know what needs to happen. I think it's sometimes maybe they don't choose to maybe play tennis year-round. You know, or maybe they choose to do a few other sports. Sometimes you go to Florida and these tennis players, you know, they're 10, 12 and they play, you know, 5 hours a day and they're traveling tournaments all over the country. Maybe here in the Midwest or especially here in Nebraska or Lincoln, you know, we don't have that as much. And then we do have every now and then. So, I mean, the goal is, I would love to have more local talent and more. And then the coaches here in the clubs, they do a really good job. Sometimes, you know, it's just a matter of like the amount of tennis that is here or how they develop or the tournament. Sometimes there's not as many tournaments around the area too, so they have to travel farther than, you know, you would in other sports too. So, you know, it's definitely more challenges here for sure.
If I asked, how many camps do you have? Do you do that?
We have two. We started last year with Pete, Peter. We started, before they didn't really have many camps. So last year we did 2 weeks. Now we're going to do 2 weeks again and see how it goes. Our goal is the same. We're trying to grow tennis just as much as the community is. See how we can intertwine it more from the community with the tennis teams. Peter's also doing a great job on the men's side too. So we're both trying to grow not only our programs, but also hopefully, a little more tennis in the community too.
Yeah, and I would think that that is a big part of it. And I know that we have listeners who have, they have daughters who are playing tennis who love it, but then it's just repetition and access. I coached in the Woodlands, Texas, Houston, and their facilities were high level. And they could play outdoors for 11 months out of the year.
Yeah.
And it certainly shows. And I think that's a real thing. So your point to trying to recruit from Nebraska, but those folks are leaving to go places where they, if it means that much to them, where they can play 11 months out of the year.
Yeah. And then it's tough to get them back, we have a few. And then it's tougher. Sometimes they go for a year and they're like, and then they go somewhere else. So. It's tough, hopefully the goal is to recruit first, the Midwest and the best players around. And, sometimes when, they tell us no, or they maybe don't have the level quite to play in the Big Ten, then we have to, see outside, go outside. So,
well, football has made this statement, recruiting within the 500 mile radius. As a thing, does that apply for women's tennis?
No, not really. I think it's more of the 5,000 mile.
Right. Like I did.
I think we'll have to seek, it will be really, really difficult. And I think it's, I was looking at the recruiting classes from all the states next to us, and the next 2 years, there is one or two that can actually compete in the Big 12, Big 10, out of the whole Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, so out of all that area, there is like one or two in 2 years.
Wow.
And, so it's like,
wow.
So it's, actually, so it's tough. So we'll have to, we'll have to branch out and then go, go other places, which is fine. But, we would love it if it was, a little more local, a little more talent close by. I think it will help more, and I think it will kind of even more fans, close families and all that. We have families that travel a ton, to watch their players or
that part. Like I noticed there at the events, and this is why I want you to be a regular appearance on this station, because when they find out who you are and who these young ladies are, they're going to fall all the way in love. Like to watch them play and to watch one. The way they engage each other, the way they engage the fans, your post match with them giving access to the young girls who come to watch them play, it's an important thing. Absolutely. And I think that you do it on purpose, but I'll ask you whether you do that on purpose.
We do. We work actually every day on the energy and interaction with each other. How we bring it up, the energy. Sometimes I'll say, hey, no matter how big our crowd is, I was like, you need to be your own kind of cheerleaders, So you need to bring it. You need to bring it every single day. So we actually work on that. And then, they love the more people that come watching because they work hard. And I think they have a good level. And the level is high. And I think it's you'd be surprised, I think, when you come watching that, it's fun. I think they make it fun. They compete hard. They play hard. I think whoever comes watch it, I think you'll be proud to be like, hey, this is a Nebraska, sport. And I think that it's good. I mean, tennis is a pretty community sport, right? It's a sport that you can play all your life, men, women, all young. And I think so anybody that comes watches, you can kind of relate to what they do within doubles and singles. And it's a sport that hopefully will get more people, watching, more support. But also I think, anything that we can help grow the sport, it's a positive.
Yeah, I think I had a young lady who is a high school coach, and she says, well, do you think that they do lessons? Do you think that they would do something with us? I said, listen, if you reach out to Herman, I would imagine he would let you do a first serve if you brought your tennis team to watch them play. And it's free admission for the family. Yeah. Like, the entire family can come watch these teams compete, and I think it's a big thing along the way.
No, it is. It is, and we try to have some promotions, you know, either free food or free stuff, you know. We're just trying to bring more people to watch. You know, it's it's free. We have great seating, whether it's inside or outside. We're trying to do more things. We do either first serve or, you know, actually March 9th, we play Michigan State. It's the same day as men's basketball, but March 9th, we play at noon Michigan State. We're actually doing a military appreciation day. So we're going to recognize a family. We're going to try to promote, you know, them and thank them for, you know, for their service. The Big Ten, we actually opened the Big Ten against Michigan, which are number 3 in the country right now. So we open with them next Friday at 5 p.m. So, yeah, no, it's exciting. I think the quality is a high quality. I think it's fun to watch them compete. And I think that, you know, the goal is to put a good product out there. So
March 7th, Friday night, 5 o'clock against Michigan. There's several home meets that follow. Michigan State will come to Lincoln. Wisconsin will come to Lincoln. Minnesota comes to Lincoln. And USC and UCLA both come to Lincoln.
That's right. Yeah. And we have, out of all those, I mean, I think, four of those are inside the top 20 right now. So so a lot of good tennis coming to Lincoln, and hopefully we can upset a few of them.
Well, I think the idea is that we're going to draw some Husker fans out there. We'll throw it to break. When we come back, I wanted to, we were asked on the text line about the foreign players, and we'll go up and down the roster just so we can kind of tell folks who these young ladies are, where they're from. And then we need you to tell your story, because your story is pretty interesting about your journey through this thing called tennis. Herman Del Magro, Women's Tennis Nebraska, joins us here one-on-one on The Ticket.